Pastor Rob and Laura are on their way back from the city that never sleeps, and believe me, it never does sleep. I was in Las Vegas this last weekend, as you guys probably know. I think Dwayne announced it to the whole world that I was in Las Vegas without him because he had no desire whatsoever to go. I really did try to get him to go. I said, I'll take you to a show. I'll get out of one of my classes and we'll go see a show of your choice. And he's like, no, honey, I didn't leave anything there and I don't really want to go there. I don't want to know. Thank you very much. Like, okay, fine. Well, I had committed to this conference in February and already paid for it and everything, and my heart really wasn't, I didn't really want to go, but I was committed and had, you know, put my money into it and my word into it, and so I felt like I needed to commit to it. And so I did receive a lot of really good stuff while I was there and heard from a lot of really great speakers and got a lot of good ammunition for this coming year. But anyway, I've kind of been in a little bit of a revival since about the middle of October. And when I was at the women's walk is kind of when it kind of came into a big crashing thing with the Lord. And today, I've just been kind of meditating about, like, Lord, what are you? You know, there's all these different things that are going on the inside of me. He's like, just be yourself. Just be yourself. I'm like, okay, so that means I get to flow in my gift that is already on the inside of me. It doesn't have to be worked up or whatever. It just kind of comes out. And anyway, he had told me that I was going to write something. And he gave me the title and everything. I'm like, Lord, I'm not a writer. But he says, well, if it's me, then it's going to be easy. And I just have fear and trembling about writing anything, you know. But I did the Bible study. He told me, he gave me the title of the Bible study, Girl, Where's Your Armor? And I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? I was vacuuming the floor of my bedroom. And he said, hey, girl, where's your armor? And it was like I saw this whole thing playing out in front of me that it was going to be a women's Bible study. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how to do that. Well, I had the opportunity to go to Colorado and stay with my mom for about a week. And during that time, they had this little travel trailer that was just set up out from their house. And I got to stay there by myself. And in that 1 week's time, it just came gushing through me. It's like, oh my gosh, you're so awesome. He's like, well, what makes you think I can't do that again? So he gives me this title, but I'm still thinking, oh my gosh. Okay, so today I'm thinking about all this. It's all going off in my brain, and in my head, I'm just talking to him in my head, and I'm like, I can't, you know, I can't write. He said, sit down and get a pen. Okay, fine. So anyway, he gives me this parable, and I want to read it to you guys because it just came. I just want to show you how easy it is when you just submit yourself to when God says, do this. It's not even you doing it. This came out of me so fast. I mean, if you could see my handwriting, I pray to God that I can read my shorthand. It's crazy. Okay. Here's the parable that he gave to me. There was a girl who had a loving father that only wanted the best for her. He gave her a beautiful piece of real estate in the mountains because he knew in her heart she loved the mountains. He showed her pictures of the house that they would build, the way it would look, and he explained how important the foundation was and that it might take a long time to make it just right. So they went to working together, creating this firm foundation. Okay, let's see. Every morning she would meet with her father and they would talk about what needed to be done that day and went right to work. It was hard work. After digging just a little bit, she discovered there was only rock below it. Her father encouraged her that this was good. It was a great sign and would help to create a firm and strong foundation for the future. Every day she would be diligent to work on this foundation. Sometimes it was exhausting, but she kept remembering the words of her father, all he had promised. People started coming into her life and some were excited about what she was doing and helped her build her foundation. Others weren't as convinced and tried to discourage the girl to give up and do something easier. This kind of work really isn't for girls. She kept on following the plan her father laid out for her until one day she felt exhausted. Things just were not happening as fast, or they weren't happening fast enough. The promises seemed further away. It seemed like she would never get done with this foundation. People came along and said, "We're going to the beach. There's lots of people there. And we are going to make a difference and have a lot of fun. You need to join us. You've been working on that foundation so long. Girl, you're tired. So the girl left her tools and joined the people to go to the beach. And when she got there, it was so much fun. So many people, and everyone was having so much fun, they decided to build a beach house. So together, they started, and the girl felt like she could really help these people because she had been working on her foundation for so long. But no one seemed interested in her ideas about getting up out of the sand to higher, firmer ground. So she fell right in and helped them dig in the sand and build a house. She was amazed at how fast it went up. So she was so excited, she called her father to let him know the good news of where she was and how she had helped these people build a house on the sand, and how they could use some of the ideas for her own house. He gently reminded her that there was still work to be done on her house, and he invited her back. He wanted to help her start building again. However, she wasn't ready to come back. They were having a great time, and things were going well. After a couple of years of sun and sand and fun, the girl started longing for her father's wisdom and his presence in her life. She really missed him, and although they met occasionally, they didn't seem to have much to talk about. She kept thinking about the house and if it would ever get built. So one of those visits, she asked him about it. "When will it ever be finished? I miss the mountains. I miss you." And he took her in his arms and said, "I can't do it without you. Stop resisting me and come back, and let's build this beautiful house." And he held up the plans to show her his plan had never changed, and he was ready when she was. So that, I wrote that in 30 minutes because it was him telling me the story. It was just him telling me. And I just know that I feel like when I was looking at the calendar, there's 21 days left till the beginning of the year. 21 days until we enter into 2014. And I know that God wants us to be prepared to go into 2014, prepared to finish the work that he's begun, that he wants us to do something significant. And we can't do anything significant if we don't feel like we are significant. It's so important for you to realize how important you are to the body of Christ, that he has a plan for you, and when you don't fall into place with your plan, then it really cripples everything about it. It's when you look at the body, right? If you have a broken toe, it's a small part of the body, but when you have a broken toe, how many of you have ever had a broken toe? Right. Does it mess things up for you? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's your baby toe that you hooked on the chair, or if it's the big toe that you bumped into the whatever. It doesn't matter. It hurts. You break your finger. Joseph, I know you've been dealing with that finger. I mean, it causes things to not work right. You're hindered. And that's why every person, and you know, Maggie's been doing this class about finding your gift. What is it that God wants you to do? Because when you're flowing in that place, it's easy. It is fun. There's so much liberty to it. There's no bondage. There's no yoke. There's freedom. That's all I can say is that there's freedom. So I was, when I was helping with the walk, I when I first said yes to Dixie to be a part of her walk, I did it for her. She begged me and told me she wasn't doing it without me. There was a lot of pressure for me to be on this walk with her, and she wanted me there, and so I said yes to her. She's my friend. But honestly, my heart wasn't really in it. I was just doing it for her. I wasn't doing it for Jesus. And so when we went to the first team meeting, and we all got there together and we're practicing and listening, we sang a song, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place." And God's presence came in there like a huge clap. And it was like God said, "Hello, I have put my presence on this, and I need you to kind of snap out of it and get involved." "Okay, yes, sir. Okay, good." So I'm like, "Okay, yeah. You know, if God's presence is here," I'm like, "Okay, yes." So I said yes that day. So it was several months till we got to the process of being a part of this walk and praying for every single woman that was going to be on it. And I was put in charge of 6 ladies, and I don't know if I told this story or not, but anyway, there were several tables of ladies, and I have the responsibility and the privilege and honor of being with these 6 beautiful women. And so I was constantly praying for them and thinking about them, and it was all about them. I was there to serve and be focused on them. You know, I've got it figured out. I've done this before. I've been on my walk. Holy cow. So there's a process through this whole thing, and I don't want to give anything away, but there was a time when there was just quietness to where everybody had opportunity for God to speak to them. And so I'm just praying for the ladies that they're going to hear from God. Lord, let them have ears to hear. Give them wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Lord. I'm just praying all these scriptures over him. And so he interrupts me in the middle of a verse praying a scripture. He says, what about you? I'm like, what about me? What? And he says to me, I want you to quit resisting the call of God on your life. What? And so he started showing me some things, and it was just like a dam broke on the inside of me. I could not stop crying. And I haven't cried like that in, I mean, before when I got saved, until probably about 10 years ago, I bawled at everything. Every time I got in the presence of God, bawl. I would just like, forget the makeup. You know, when you walk through church, you're going to bawl. Cry. I'm just a big bawl bag. And so it finally got to where, you know, now I have more joy than I did crying. But now, I mean, this is the dam broke. Valerie's standing in front of me. She's like, are you okay? I mean, she's trying to hold me up as I was trying to walk to where I was supposed to get to. And I'm like, I just couldn't. And she said, are you okay? I'm like, it's good. It's good. And so she's like, okay, good. Well, I'm glad it's good. So it's like when he revealed that to me, that that's what I had been doing, resisting him, it broke my heart. Because I had gone along so long thinking that everything was good and you know, I was doing good and everything was good. And here all this time, he's like, you're not really doing what I want you to be doing. You're resisting me. It's like, okay, I got you. So from that point on, during that time, it's like we got a chance to pray for Dixie before she went in to do her talk. We prayed for her. And she got so drunk in the Holy Ghost, she was not ready to give her talk. She was just like, oh my gosh, you guys, what have you done to me? What have you done to me? She was just sitting there, just kind of sinking into it. And Darlene comes in and she's like, what are you doing? I said, we're just praying for our leader, that's all. She needed it. She's like, we gotta get in there. I'm like, okay, she's all yours. And then we slipped in and we went to our room. They were on the cart, the little golf cart, to try to get her to where she went to be. And we ended up getting in the room. And she stepped, she says, ladies, we're going to go to lunch now. So we ended up going to lunch so everybody could kind of get their composure back. But my point is that God wants to invade us. He wants to invade our lives. He wants to invade our space. And speaking of invading your space, on one of this trips I flew from here to Phoenix and then from Phoenix to Las Vegas, which is like a 1 hour. It's like flying from here to Houston, real short. You know, you're up and then you're down. And so I'm sitting. But when I get to fly by myself, I'm going to get the window. When I fly with Dwayne, I'm always in the middle. And he's always on the outside because of his legs. He needs to stretch. So when I fly by myself, I'm like, I'm on the window. I like to look out. I like to be over the window. I like to lean my head. It's just very liberating. Well, I mean, when I'm with Dwayne, it's all good because he's my lean. You know, I get to lean on him and whatever. But when I get to fly by myself, by the window. So I'm sitting by the window. I'm one of the first ones to get on, so I get to pick close to the door. So I'm one of the first ones out. So I'm real straight. You know, he's taught me to be strategic about where you're sitting. So I'm sitting by the window, about three or four seats back, and this sweet little lady comes by and sits by me, and she's got the mask on, you know, because she's a germaphobe. She's like, don't want any germs. She's got her little mask on, little cane, precious. And so she's trying to talk to me through this thing. I'm having a hard time. So I lean over, and the middle seat's empty. So I lean over and talking to her and visiting with her, and I look up, and, you know, people are going by. And, you know me, I'm just looking at everybody. I'm just a people watcher. Well, this gentleman walks by, and I, you know, I randomly made eye contact. Like, I looked at him and was like, I'm listening to her and just, you know, making eye contact with people who are coming through. So anyway, he goes past, then he comes back. He's like, can I sit there? Sure you can. Come in, invade our space. So he's this guy, you know, men hate to sit in the middle, don't you guys? Do you guys like to sit in the middle and the airplane? See, nobody here does. Okay, good. Confirmed. So anyway, he sits down beside me and he gets this close to me and starts talking to me, like, seriously, in my space. And so I'm pushing my head up against my window, and he's, like, talking to me like this. I'm like, okay, Father, I need you to help me right now before I slap this guy for getting in my space. What do I say to him that's going to help him go back? I said, what are you doing on this plane? Where are you? Are you going to Vegas? Is Vegas your last stop? And blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just trying to get him to back up. And so I finally get him to get in front of his iPad. And it was very uncomfortable, that closeness with somebody that I did not know, a total stranger that didn't respect boundaries. Well, that's how God is with us. He doesn't want you to feel like, oh, Lord, you're really getting too close to me. He wants to invade our space. And he wants us to feel comfortable about it. He wants to be able to breathe on us and us to feel it and say, yes, I receive that. I receive your breath on me. You know, but it was uncomfortable with that stranger. So maybe sometimes it feels uncomfortable when God's pressing in on you because you're not familiar with that presence right there. So these last few weeks, I've been waking up with this presence right here. And he says, that one scripture in Psalms 139, it says it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in the depths, I'm there with you. It's one of my favorite ones, Psalms 139. It's my favorite of all. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me, because the darkness shall not hide from you. Because he is the light. Darkness can't hide. So it doesn't matter where you feel like you are. He says, I'm there. Every time you feel like he's, Lord, where are you? And he's sitting right here in your space. He's like right here. Can you see me? Can you feel me? I'm right here. I promise I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I am right here. And all I'm doing is waiting for you to invite me back into building your house. Now, Hebrews 3, verse 4 says, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which be spoken afterwards, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So the house that we're building is right here on the inside of us. And sometimes we get discouraged or we get disillusioned because it doesn't happen the way we want it to. And I was going through some stuff in a storage that I had. I had a bin of stuff that I just have collected. Just, you know, when I moved, I just threw everything in because I didn't want it to be lost. And so I was going through it looking for different stuff. And I found this cassette tapes. 2003. And it was me preaching a cassette tape. And there was two different ones. And so I called my mom. I said, I need a tape recorder. You got a tape recorder? She's like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, she's pretty much got one of everything stashed somewhere. So I'm like, okay. So she's in Colorado at this time. So she tells me where to find one. So I go in and get it. And I put the tape in there. And it's a little bit fast forward. So it doesn't really sound like me because I really don't like listening to my voice. You know, from the outside, it's just like, oh. When I hear myself, it's like, oh, really? Is that what I sound like? Whew. Bothers me. But anyway, so I started listening to it, and when I did, it was a little bit fast forward, so it didn't quite sound like me, and they were preaching this message. I preached this message about being salt and light. And I was listening to it, I was like, oh my gosh! I was like, oh my gosh, Tracy, what has happened to you? You were a preacher girl. I mean, you brought it. I mean, it was really good. I mean, it had content. I was like, do you remember that? So, right, exactly. We would sing the song, let me be salt, let me be light. Anyway, so I was convicted in my heart when I started listening to that. And then the other one is about being the potter, the clay, or something like that. And that's when I had the vision about God's, I was on God's shoulders and his hands were dirty. And he said, I'm still working. I'm the potter and I'm the one who's making the work. How can the thing being made say to the person making it, what do you think you're doing? But don't we do that all the time? Lord, what are you doing? Why are you wanting me to do this? Or why are you wanting me to go there? So the title that, I don't know what it's going to be, but I've already got this whole list of things of different people. It's, Why Me, Lord? And the first person that came to my mind when I said that was Jonah. Don't you know he was sitting there saying, why me, Lord? Why do I have to go to Nineveh? Why do I have to go and talk to those people? Why do I have to be the one that's going to bring them to repentance? I don't want them to repent. Why me? Send so-and-so. He's been praying for Nineveh for 35 years. Right? God says, no, I want you to go. How many of you felt like that sometimes? You're just like, you feel like God's telling you to do something, and you're like, why me? Why, Lord? And it may seem insignificant at the time, but there's a reason why he is asking you to. And if you don't do it, he's going to bring you around to another place to where it's going to be the exact same thing, maybe different circumstances, but it's going to be the same thing, different face on it, different feel, but it's going to be the same thing because he's trying to create something. He's trying to he said, I began a work in you and I'm going to bring it to a full completion. I want to finish this work in you, but I need your cooperation. We're free will beings, and that's what he loves about it. He wants us to say yes to him. But so many times we say no, and guess what he does? He doesn't leave us. He says, okay, see you in a little bit. And then he finds another situation. Am I right? Has he done that with you? And he finds another situation, another circumstance to bring you back around. So that tape was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. It's like, can you believe that? It's just like that. It was just like, it just went by just like that. So anyway, I believe that going into 2014, if you have your antennas up and you are, all you have to do is say, yes, Lord. Because he has something for every single person in here to do. And the reason why we practice the presence on Wednesday nights is so that when you go out into the world, you're not going to be intimidated to pray for somebody. That was the most beautiful thing. When I was in Las Vegas, I was in the hotel. It was 26 stories high or something like that. We were on the 20th floor. And so, you know, when you're in a hotel, how many of you have stayed in a hotel before? Everyone? Is there anyone here that has not stayed in a hotel? Okay, good. So, you know in a hotel that when you get up in the morning and you go down for your little breakfast or you go down for your coffee or you even just go down and check out, what's the tone of the hotel? It's quiet, right? Everyone's sleeping. It's shh. So Saturday morning, I wanted a cup of coffee and they had a cafe bar. And I called down and said, is the cafe bar open? I really need a cup of coffee this morning. I want a good cup of coffee. And she says, oh, yeah, it's open. And so she said it's open 24/7. I'm like, what? So, okay, I go down. I get my sweats on and I go down the elevator and the door opens up. And it was chaos. 6 o'clock in the morning. You could hear things going off. People were talking loud. One lady was still in her night attire, and she was going, Joseph! Joseph! Has anybody seen Joseph? And I'm like, lady, it is 6 o'clock in the morning. Use your morning voice. I am not ready for all of this. There was lights and noises, and people were still at the gambling tables, and people were still at the... I had to go through the casino to get to our conference room. It was horrible. And they say it's truly the city that never sleeps. I'm like, oh my God, get me out of here. So I went to the little breakfast, to the coffee bar, and I had to stand in line at 6 o'clock in the morning. There was probably 10 people in front of me. So I'm standing there. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not wanting to be in line. I'm not wanting to be downstairs. I'm not wanting to be in public, right? I just want a cup of coffee and go. And Angela said, well, we could have ordered room service. I'm like, have you tasted room service coffee? I need something that comes out of the, you know? So she's like, okay, we'll go ahead. So I'm standing down there, and this couple that's in front of me, they're from Texas. There's so many cowboys down there. I felt right at home just looking around because it's the rodeo finals, and there were cowboys everywhere. I'm like, oh, these are my people. And I would tell John and Angela, I would say, and they say, gosh, there's a lot of cowboys around. I'm like, how could you tell? She's like, just look for the cowboy hats. And so I'm like, and so we were talking with some other people that were from, one of them was from New York and the other one was from Northern California. and we were all just talking about some, about Texas. And I'm like, well, you know, we're not a state, we're a country. Because they were saying, they were asking at the conference, they were asking, where is everybody from? And so they were shouting out, people were from Dubai and India and just from all 30 different countries represented. And one of the places that somebody shouted out was Texas. I'm like, yeah, oh yeah. And he's up there. He's like, Texas is not a country, even though you really want it to be. I'm like, that's a matter of opinion. So anyway, there's a lot of fun, but a lot of cowboys. And so when I was down there, a couple was standing in front of me, and they were from Texas and having a conversation. I said, have you ever seen anything like this before in your life? I'm like, people come here and they don't sleep for 72 hours straight. And I said, it is incredible. It just blows my mind. He's like, yeah. I said, have you noticed how many, they're just, no one's happy. They're just loud. And so what God showed me as I was walking back through was they have slot machines, you know, everywhere. And people are sitting in front of them, and they're kind of slouched over, sad, drawn looks on their faces, just sitting there punching buttons, putting their money in, punching buttons. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. And the ones that I saw having any kind of life in them were ones having conversation with somebody else. And I saw a lot of people sitting together, like say you guys are sitting there facing each other and just sitting there and just talking to each other. And the ones that I saw in relationship, having conversation, had life. But it's like, somebody was saying, are you going to go gamble? I said, are you kidding me? I work too hard for my money to go throw it in a slot machine that is already pre-programmed to take my money and not give it back. I said, no, we don't do that. I said, I had a lot of fun watching other people do it. It's like, are you kidding me? Are you going to do that again? After that took all that, you're going to put more in there? Well, you know, it's always the betting of the come. You know, it's like the next one could be it, could be the big one. No one in my realm won anything the whole weekend that we were there. I'm like, y'all are crazy. You're crazy. You're here to learn how to make more money, not give it away to whoever's getting that. So the body of Christ. Well, I was talking about the house, right? And building the house on the sand. And a lot of times we think, I'm not building my house on the sand. I'm not. I'm building my house on the rock. The rock is Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. I'm building my house on the rock. But a lot of times we're building on the sand because of our wrong thinking and having wrong expectations and not looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and looking to other people to validate us and looking to other people to say, yes, you're right. Yes, I see that gift on the inside of you. Yes, this, yes, that. Instead of letting God validate you, and then when God validates you, that gives you the strength to step out in your gift. But men being men and women, are flaky. And if you do something wrong, they could change their mind tomorrow. But if you hear from Jesus and he says, this is what I've called you to do. This is the gift that I placed on the inside of you from on the day you were born. And now all my other gifts are available to you for your purpose. And when he says that, that gives you confidence to step out and to walk in it. Right? So that when the storm comes and somebody does say something to you that hurts your feelings or that offends you or whatever, you have something, you have the firm foundation of what Jesus told you. I'm standing on that. It doesn't matter what you say. And guess what? Jesus didn't say I couldn't make mistakes. He said he was going to be there to be the pooper, scooper, picker-upper. And he was going to be able to come up behind me and clean it up, right? Wow, I just have such a revelation about that right now. Okay, there's just one more scripture that I want to share. Am I good? Good with time? Good, good, good. You guys all know the story about the, let's see. It says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him. This is Luke 4:28-29. This man began to build and was not able to finish it. So when we think about counting the cost, the price has been paid by Jesus. And he says, Now, I'm counting on you. Let's work together. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Let's work together with him and get this thing built. Because he is coming back. And it may not be in our lifetime, but it may be in our lifetime. And it's not about us. It's about how many people we can get with us. Because we're not taking any material thing with us. We are taking relationships. We're taking people. And so every person that you come in contact with during your week is a prospect for the kingdom of God. And you may be the only Bible that they ever read. I told my son that. He's a well driller for sales and service, and he's over guys that do this, and so he kind of is, they answer to him basically about it. And so one guy was having a really hard time, really struggling with where he was at, and he was texting Chad his frustration and just mad about the situation with where they were drilling. And Chad just used so much wisdom in how he answered him back. And it had such an impact on him that he told other people. And it got back to me. And so I was like, you know, that's my boy. He's learning here from heaven about how to, you know, just learning how to have an answer seasoned with grace for every person that you come across, because you never know. And so I told Chad, I said, you know what, sweetie? You may be the only Bible that guy ever reads. You're doing a fine job because he sees it. And it's ministering to his soul. Because you have words of life for him, not words of condemnation or ostracizing or anything like that. You had words of grace. You had words of wisdom for him that he took, and it gave him peace. Isn't that what everyone's looking for? Just looking for peace. And have a little joy. So that's what my word from the Lord is tonight, to exhort you to let God help God pick up your tools and get back to work on that, on the house that he's building on the inside of you, so that we can be that work that can go out into the world and do something and affect other people, because it's all about bringing more people in the kingdom. And the only way people are going to get in this church, like Pastor Robert said, is if we bring them. They're not just going to wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to go to Living Waters Church. No, they're going to come because someone invited them. What's really interesting about this conference that I went to last year, the conference had 600 people. And it was in a conference hall probably about the size of this. This year, 5,000 people. Do you know how that happened? 600 people invited their friends and told their people, and it went from 600 to 5,000. And that's how it's going to happen here. But if we keep our mouths closed and we say, well, I really can't do that. I can't invite somebody to church. It might offend them, I'm afraid, I'm scared. You don't have to worry about it. It's not about you. It's opening your mouth and your heart at the same time. That's what you do. And you speak from the heart. What would Jesus do? Amen. Are you going to take up that thing? I will let